Welcome to the Lost Stop Podcast and the 10th edition of the Transcontinental Race, supported by our race partners, Farah Cycling, Pedaled, Apadura, Komoot, and Peak Design. Day 10, and it's the morning after the night before, as yesterday Robin Gemperla, cap number 2, rolled into Istanbul to win TCR number 10. Around 4.5 hours later, at 12:30, he was followed by two-time TCR champion Christoph Strasser, cap number 1, who claimed second position by completing this year's race in 9 days, 4 hours and 32 minutes. The race team and volunteers were there to welcome Christoph in the early hours. He spoke to race director David Eyre.
Yeah, I had so much bad luck, and I think 3 times I was really considering to quit, and I'm so happy that I'm here. I had 12 flat tires. I don't know how, if that was the maximum ever, yeah. Maybe.
And a 1% free that you've gone through, that's pretty amazing.
I had 7 on the parkour number 4. Yeah. And I had 4 tubes and 7 flats. And a cut tire, and yeah, it was...
And now you have a new tire somewhere?
No, I was putting patches inside. It is different every time, and when I think back, my first TCR, I was very anxious, and I didn't know what adventure is coming towards me. It was a little bit courageous to do it once, because I've never done something before unsupported racing, and now I'm standing here after 3 finishes and 2 wins, and I still can't believe it, what the last 3 years have been like.
And would you say that you've started to enjoy gravel a bit more?
No.
Or is that...
No, I don't. But this year was as bad as never before in terms of flat tires. I don't know what's the reason. I have to think about it, because that's not fun. If you're like 50% of the time on the parkour, you're just pumping new tires. Because then you think... something is really stupid, because I'm pushing hard for days, and then on the parkour everything is like gone. All the time you have fight for is just lost because of the mechanical stuff.
But you made it.
Yes, I made it. I'm really happy.
You made it in 9 days, 4 hours and 32 minutes.
Thank you.
There you go. Congratulations.
Thanks.
Morning on day 10. And after riding in the top 3 positions for most of the race, Abdullah Zainab, cap 21, is on the home straight, swiftly followed by Tim De Vitter, cap number 3, who is flying through the final parkour and making up ground quickly. With the finish line in sight, drama ensues. Race director, David Eyre.
We are at the finish line here in Istanbul, and we spotted on the tracking map that Abdullah Zainab, who has been in third position for the past 36 hours or so, after Christoph, who had taken him near Çanakkale, had missed a turn right at the end of the parkour. So about 2.5 kilometres from the finish, he had deviated from the fixed route and free routed through town. So went to wait for him at the bottom of the steps that lead you up to the finish line to tell him. As I approached the steps, Tim De Vitter, who had been chasing hard along the entire Finnish parkour, actually sprinted past Abdullah and up the steps onto the little kind of plateau that leads you to the finish line and took third place on merit. Abdullah has decided to go back out and correct the small mistake he's made, so he should be with us in the next 5 minutes or so. You can see that he's already on his way back. It's been a fantastic race for him. Unfortunately, he's just missed out on the podium, so it would be fourth for him in his first TCR. A sensational ride, nonetheless. He's really lit up the race and pushed Robin, Christoph and Tim as far as he was personally capable of, and I think has made it really exciting. So looking forward to offering him an ice-cold 0% beer when he arrives here, because he has more than earned it.
Tim De Vitter, third position at consecutive TCRs.
I was like... I know, from the top of the hill, I checked and he was like, he's like crawling. So I said, okay, I'm going to go. I think I broke all KOMs in Istanbul. I'm going to go really as fast as I can. I didn't give up. And I thought I saw like 700 meters left, like, okay, he won't be there. But then I saw a cyclist with some Appie Duda stuff. I was like, okay. And it's him. I can't believe it, honestly. Wow. I'm feeling bad for him, but I'm really happy for me. And I think it must be the biggest millimeter sprint ever in an ultra cycling event, just like that. Wow. Didn't expect that.
Yes. Tim, that was an incredible ride.
You're referring to the last 35 kilometers, or?
But even before then, we saw you catch up with the pack throughout kind of the past 9 days. You weren't exactly right at the front, and then you just made your way through the pack slowly but surely.
That's probably what I'm always doing. I just do my own thing. So I was checking then, okay, where is everyone, and will I be able to hold my lead on someone else? Because I knew I was top five, and I would have liked to stay top five. And that's why I planned my strategy also for sleeping. And yeah, he was like 3-4 hours ahead of me. I was honestly not counting at all anymore that I would catch him. Also, like during the parkour, the first half, no idea. But then when I was approaching the big climbs and I saw he was still on the big climb, I was starting to wonder like if he had a mechanical or whatever. But I think I will have to ask him and talk to him once, because I haven't seen him the whole race, basically.
Just 30 minutes later, having this time completed the final section of parkour, Abdullah Zainab arrives at the finish line too.
I feel relieved.
It's been quite a journey.
Yeah. No, I feel satisfied. Relieved and satisfied. The more hard it is, the more relieved I feel, which is nice.
Okay.
I'm not going to be at home questioning like, oh, could I have done more?
9 days, 13 hours and 43 minutes.
You lose track of time, don't you?
It's a long time and it's no time at all.
I know. Yeah. The longest period of time was entering into Istanbul, and then from there to here, I was just like, man.
Let it be over.
Yeah, I thought, like, I saw the city, I was like, it's done, we're here.
You lit up the race.
That's what I wanted to do, man.
Yeah.
That's what I wanted to do.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's really nice watching you push yourself and those around you to their limits as well. Like, it's made it so exciting.
Yeah. Oh, that's honestly what I wanted to do when I kind of had a kilometer target I wanted to do every day.
Yeah.
And I just was like, okay, if I just hit my kilometer target, I know from previous editions that it was... And I didn't bother me. I was like, someone's either going to be able to beat it, and that's fair play, because if you can do that, then you're an amazing athlete.
Yeah.
So, yeah. I was able to do it for most of it until I started the issues with tyres, but...
Yeah.
But, yeah, this is what it is.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know what would have happened after. Maybe it would have gone down or stayed the same, but I'm happy to get that far anyway.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, you should definitely be happy.
No, I'm happy, man. Yeah. I'm happy. No, I felt good too, so I couldn't complain.
Abdullah's family were there to welcome him across the finish line. His sister Yasmin shares some insight into what it takes to compete at this level at the Transcontinental Race.
Oh, I think we just feel really proud. I mean, he's so determined. I was with him in Spain when he was doing his like pre-training and stuff, and so it's just been cool to see it from the beginning to the end. But yeah, he just is so resilient. It's been amazing to watch.
And was he always resilient when he was growing up?
Yeah. The thing is, we were actually joking, because my mum was like, oh, thank God this is his last race. And I was like, this might be his last race, but it's not the last of some kind of project that he'll do at like the extreme level, because he's always like looking to learn like his limits and boundaries and that kind of thing. So it won't surprise me if he moves on to something equally as extreme next. But I always like... The thing that I kind of love about his journey is that he always says, like, he doesn't even like riding.
What does that even mean?
Exactly. I think it's just, like, he's not... For him, it's, like, about how to test what he's physically and mentally capable of. And the bike is, like, the medium to do that.
Abdullah's mum, Abby, on what it's like to watch a family member's dot over the course of a race.
As a mother, it's kind of scary. because you're watching your son, and sometimes, like this time, where there was no water, no one could contact him for 12 hours, he was walking the bike, that is really nerve-breaking. As a person, he inspired his own mother. Yeah.
Oh, that's so beautiful.
Yes. Like, whenever I feel down, I just listen to his interviews over the years and the way he talks about his journey and where is he at the moment. And yeah.
What do you think he's going to do next?
He will be doing something. If he decided not to continue with this, he will definitely start something else. And he will excel in it, I have no doubt. And then he will find another thing.
Oh, you must be so proud.
Because for him, he believes that everyone in this life has a cause, whatever it is, and he need to achieve and evolve. And so I'm sure he will get to another venture somehow.
Back out on the road, the team in Control Car 2 are following those riders also bearing down on Istanbul. Hannah Larbalestier, race reporter, provides a breakdown of where things currently stand, followed by a look at the route to come from race coordinator Andrew Phillips.
So yesterday in Control Car 2, we spent the day pushing up towards that top 15 set of riders who were all still quite closely packed, even after almost 4,000 kilometres of riding across the continent. We spotted Pico Prulowski, Tobias Fuchs and Mikko Kainu all really vying for that top 10 position and looking like any of them could really take it. And then we caught Andre Backman, who was taking some interesting route choices and looked to be aiming for that top five position, but was also in really close contention with David Chan, Ben Chadorn, Lucas Stripmatter and Florian Moreau. Overnight we've seen a lot of change, and that close group of riders has really strung out and seemed to have potentially solidified their positions unless anything changes today between them. And we've seen Andre have a really strong ride overnight. He's on the finish parkour now and looks to be set to take fifth place on the race. A bit further back, that group fighting it out for the top 10 position, Pico had a bit of a rough night and has lost a lot of time to Mikko Kainu, who now looks to be the leader of those three. And Tobias Fuchs, unfortunately, we've just heard, has scratched with Schirmer's neck. So a lot has changed overnight, and it'll be interesting to see if those places change further today. We've also seen some really interesting route choices. Andrew, do you want to tell us a bit more about those?
Yeah, once riders come off the fourth parkour and start heading sort of east towards the sea, they have to traverse a large area of a large area where we've got some big band roads. Now these roads are sort of legal for bikes but verging on motorway in places, so we've taken the decision to ban them as unsafe for cyclists. And that means that riders have been finding some really ingenious ways around them, ending up on all sorts of tiny little dirt tracks, secondary tarmac roads, and we think even a bit of single track in places. So some of these climbs have ended up incredibly steep cut-throughs. We've got a number of natural barriers as well. We've got a lot of mountainous terrain and also a couple of lakes in the way. And riders are going different sides of all of these barriers. And some of them, I think, have sort of really put a lot of route planning into this part of their ride and have worked out the absolute best terrain for them as riders. We spoke to Andre Backman yesterday, who had decided on his route based on his ability to ride off-road. And he'd earmarked this as an area where he could potentially get some real time back against his competitors, and it does look like that's played out for him. But other riders are really just doing their best at this point, competing not only with the roads, the climbing, the temperature, but we've also had some really strong headwinds today as well.
1:33 p.m. and Andre Backman, cap number 5, becomes the fifth rider to make it all the way from Roubaix in France to the finish line in Istanbul. André was in a podium position for the first half of the race, before a nasty crash forced him to take stock and start again.
Oh, congratulations.
Quite happy to finish. Thank you.
Yeah, I bet.
You didn't like it?
No, I like it, but no, the last two, 3 days are really hard. That was the heat and, yeah. Yeah, no, it was nice. No, the race was beautiful. I enjoyed it, really.
I'm pleased to hear it.
Yeah.
Well, let me take your brevet card. Let's get you final. Let's finish your race for you. When you felt the race changing, I suppose, after you'd crashed and then you had to like stop for a bit and then you could see them getting away, how did you deal with that mentally? Yeah, like, what was that challenge like?
I had to do like a reset for my own.
Yeah.
So I decided, okay, also I will decide nothing today because it's never good. And then I took some more sleep, you know, 7 hours of sleep. And then in the morning I get up at 3 o'clock and then, okay, let's do it. Get full gas again. So yeah, but it was quite hard because Fure was so in the race, you know, like full gas and everything was going fine. I felt super strong and then I had this stupid crash and then you know everything is gone, you know.
Yeah. But one mistake, you've not let it cost you. I think like to see you improvise and adapt and then like reset, like you say, is testament to you to still come here with the top five finish.
That's
good. Really great.
Yeah, that's really, really cool. Yeah. But for the top five, I have to work really hard the last 2 days. Yeah.
The last part of a race, the length and duration of TCR, can be unforgiving. You have the same mechanical and tech issues, but with days and days of cycling in your body and mind. Our riders are so close, and of course, still so far away. Hannah caught up with Adrian Lichty, cap number 7.
Ciao. Hey, Adrian, how are you doing?
Yeah, I'm good. I took a break because my power bank is broken. I have to charge my stuff. So I took a break and...
We saw on Instagram that you reposted something from one of your sponsors saying that you now can't get navigation on your devices or your phone.
I think it's the Bluetooth on my phone. It's not working. And if I want to download new files, it's not possible.
So have you been changing your route and trying to do something different to what you'd already planned?
Yeah, because when I came in this valley, I checked my route and it was on the illegal road. Yeah, and I was already inside. So the only way to avoid the road was to climb up the mountain. But it's a nice way to go. It's a nice climb. It's beautiful, yeah.
The team are now on the tail of Pavel Polaski, or Pico, cap number 8.
We're just sat following Pico while we're in the car up this climb. He just went past what looked to be an old local restaurant and there was a guy outside cheering him on, so I'm not sure if he was a dot watcher or just giving some praise to a cyclist going up this steep hill, but it's nice to see. We've just caught Pico with an ice cream stick in his mouth. Have a good ice cream, Pico.
No, there's no more ice cream.
How come you're keeping hold of the stick?
The stick is keeping me hydrated, you know.
Giving you what?
Hydrated. Once I watched the movie, it's called The Cube. Mm-hmm. It's a pretty famous movie. And they were closed in one cube without water. And one guy said, hey, stick something to your mouth. It will generate the water inside your mouth. And it's working.
Still pedaling strong through northern Turkey towards Istanbul is Yana Kessenheimer, cap number 10. She's been the fastest woman at TCR number 10 since the early stages of the race, and edging ever closer to maintaining her position all the way to the finish line.
I did a bivy last night, and I plan to do so again because I want to be more flexible. So I'll just make sure I have everything I need now.
How have you been fighting the riding since CP4?
Oh, the wind was crazy today. Like, I mean, the parkour 4 was hard, but the wind today was like an even worse mental game.
Yeah. How have you been pushing through it?
I was singing loud. Like, I just listened to German music, like pop music, which I could sing along, and then I just sang really long.
Nice.
Can you give us a rendition?
No.
Please, for the podcast.
Pretty sure not.
Yeah. And do you have an idea of what your ETA at the finish will be?
I don't have an idea yet. I'm waiting for the podcast to come out.
Are you expecting us to tell you when you're finished?
Yeah, this was really cool because before I was heading to the parkour yesterday, I listened to the podcast, and then Christoph said, and also Abdullah, that it took them like 7 hours or something. So I really expected something like really, really hard, but actually I think I was lucky. It went smooth-ish.
Nice. Yeah. Have you been following all of the like results at the finish and seeing how everyone else is doing, or are you just focused on your own ride?
Yeah, I mean, I'm today, like, I wasn't really able to be on my smartphone besides now because the wind was too heavy, so I didn't really had a look. But of course I cheered for Robin and was really happy for him, and also for Christoph for doing so well. Yeah.
Such a rapid finish to do it under 9 days.
Crazy,
isn't it?
It's insane. Yeah. So fast.
Yeah. Like Jana, in the pace category, Sherry Cardona and Gerion Torres, caps 295, A and B, have been fastest throughout the race so far. Hannah catches up with Sherry to find out some of the methods the pair use to make sure they are efficient on the road.
When you're struggling, like, I guess one of the difficult things about pairs racing is that when one of you is having a low point, the other one might not be, and you're not always in sync. Yeah. How do you cope with that as a pair? Is there anything you kind of do together that helps you get through that?
Just like another push each other, like over the limit, just understand that it will go away at some point, and just trying to be okay, if we have to take a rest, we take it, or things like that, yeah.
Do you tactically do stops so that, like, Gerion will go ahead to a supermarket, do the supermarket sweep, and then you'll catch up and get there to eat the food?
Yeah, normally we stop together at the supermarket, and then one goes to the loo, the other one starts filling up the bottles and resupplying, so always like one does one thing. But sometimes I struggle. Sometimes, most of the time, he does more than me, to be honest. But it's efficient. Yeah, we try to definitely more efficient the brakes now that we are conscious. Yeah, last year we were like lost so much time by just rumbling around. Or also we had problems with the shifters and everything last year, and we lost so much time. This time we were conscious enough to like remember the YouTube videos we watch and know how to repair it.
The next rider to cross the finish line is David Shan, in sixth place. He's ridden a composed, consistent race, despite having to come back from a crash on day three.
I'm glad I made it. After the crash on day three, it was a little shaky if I wanted to continue or not. And I'm glad I did, because it just looked worse than it actually was. After I got it checked out, it seemed fine, so I continued. And the last 2 days were a little rough because I got some kind of food poisoning, so I just had to hop into a bush like every hour riding through Turkey, and then like if you just lose all the liquid you put in on top and it just goes out on the bottom, like, and it's just hot, it's just, so riding into checkpoint 4 I wasn't doing so great, and then I slept for like 12 hours, tried to get in some real food and felt better after that.
And overall, how would you sum up your TCR number 10 experience?
Pretty good. Obviously some up and downs, but I was able to resolve a lot of issues I had last year, and I feel like I was able to show much more this year what I'm capable of. Even though it didn't go perfect, I wish I wouldn't have had that food poisoning like the last 2 days. That wasn't great, but now I can come back and improve again.
Evening in Istanbul, and as darkness starts to fall, Ben Shadern becomes the seventh rider to cross the finish line at TCR number 10 and enjoy a very well-earned rest.
I loved it.
Yeah. Everything.
It's been a fantastic ride for you.
Yeah, actually, I'm surprised. Yeah. I just did my race. I didn't really think about anything else. Just like push. Start slow. See where I'm at, and then finish strong.
Yeah. Well, you've definitely done that.
Yeah. No, that's cool. I'm super hyped. I'm pretty proud.
Yeah. So you should be.
I'm super proud, and I'm so. It's been a three years, you know, project.
Yeah.
And last year didn't work because I crashed. So now it's good. It's a dream come true. I'm really, really happy.
It's been a day full of action at the Transcontinental Race, and those riders who have completed this year's edition are now sharing stories from the previous 10 days. Join us in the next episode, where they'll be joined by more riders who are about to take on the Finnish parkour and roll their way into the bright lights and city life of Istanbul. Remember, you can read Emma's daily race reports on the road on the Lost Stop website and get regular updates across all our social media channels. Thanks to our race partners, Farah Cycling, Pedaled, Apadura, Komoot, and Peak Design.